Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Will you please join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for the time of worship. Thank you that we can sing praises to God in this wonderful place. Thank you for giving us the freedom to worship you. And now as we look into your word and look into the world in which you have called us to minister to, we ask, O God, that no one will depart from this place today without being touched by your Spirit. We ask, O God, you will illumine our mind, touch our hearts, and change our will to conform to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning. It is so exciting to hear all the worship in this land where you have been given the freedom. And yet we know 1/4 of the world's population and rich never have any worship of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And because when worship is absent, missions, therefore, is indispensable. We have to reach the unreached, those who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and also this 1/2 of the world's population who have access to the gospel and yet have not believed in Jesus Christ. 1/4 of the world here believe Jesus Christ, and you worship God, and we thank God, we sing hallelujah, and we can dance, and we praise God. And yet there are those who have not come to know Jesus Christ, and they know not about the worship of our living God and Savior. When there is a lack of worship, that's why we have to go for missions. Missions. As we see in the last 2 days, as I have again repeated, 1/4 of the world, Christians. Another 1/2 of the world, non-Christians, but have access to the gospel. You live near the church, you have Christian friends, Christian colleagues. Another 1/4 of the world, unreached, never heard the name of Jesus Christ, never seen a Christian witness, never seen a Christian church, and 1/2 of the unreached are unengaged. No one is trying to reach them. Missions, as we define in the last few days. I need to close this one down. Here you are. Don't come up again, all right? The first component of missions is evangelizing the unreached. The second component of missions is equipping the disciples who came to know Jesus Christ. And then establishing the church. You preach the good news of Jesus Christ, you prepare the disciples, and then you plant the church. Quiz time. First component of missions is God. Second component of missions is
equipping disciples.
You're getting better. Third component of missions is
establishing the church.
Pretty good. You pass. evangelizing the unreached, equipping the disciples, establishing the church. And whatever we do, we must always keep that in mind so that our life in our service here is missional, that we have a missiological focus upon the core of missions that God has called us into. Yesterday, we talked about what we need to do in here, in this church, in America, that our church and members of the church may be orientated towards reaching the unreached for Jesus Christ. And we say that your theme of this week in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, even as you're serving here in America, in whatever role you are, whether it's singing, whether you're conducting any service, we must never, never forget that we want to link our work and assignment that God has given to us to reach ultimately to reaching the unreached. I want you to stay focused. God has given us gifts, and we exercise the gifts of God faithfully. And when we exercise the gifts of God faithfully, we want to focus on the mission that God has given to us. You don't have to imitate somebody else. Be your natural self in the exercise of your gifts. Don't try to imitate me. One Alvin is more than enough. Do it in a power of the Holy Spirit as He enables you to exercise the gift to touch the lives of others. You have to be your natural self that God has given unto you, because the best music is played on the key of be natural. And so as you exercise your gifts, you're always focusing on how this is going to impact the world for Jesus Christ. How you're going to reach the unreached. I know there's a big gap, but God is very gracious. In America today, God has also brought many of those representatives of the unreached to our door. And therefore, today I want to discuss and enlighten all of us about the world at our doorsteps. That God, in His graciousness, has brought so many of them who are unreached to the doors of the Church of Jesus Christ right here in America. You see, the same thing happened in the book of Acts during the day of Pentecost. During the day of Pentecost, he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, that there are people from every nation under heaven gathered in Jerusalem where the church was founded. Every ethnic group coming before the doorsteps of the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 9, he said there were people, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia. And then he also says they're from Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia. And then there are those from Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene. And there are also visitors from Rome. And there are Cretans and Arabs. Those are bringing at least 15 places named in Acts chapter 2, brought together by God before the doorsteps of the church. And then, of course, there's a great evangelistic meeting where the gospel is being preached to these who have come before them. God, in His graciousness, has brought the world to us. While we need to go and support indigenous missionaries to reach that reach, and we continue once to emphasize and focus that, but God in His graciousness has also given us representatives from these unreached people groups here in the United States. International visitors. Every day, God brought about 100,000 foreign visitors into the United States. Most of them are tourists, business, and student visitors. 100,000 of them coming to America on short-term missions. They come here, take a look, and they go home. Hundred thousand every day, and therefore, you see, we want to give, we want to exercise the gift that God has given to us. In every profession, there are opportunities to meet the unreached and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you are working in allied personnel, in allied companies, great, great time to share the good news even before they arrive on the shore of the United States. How would I wish we can mobilize Christian allied personnel and to train and equip them to become effective stewards and stewardesses in the airline and to reach them even before they arrive. In fact, there is an association of Christian allied personnel in America. Good work! I don't know about you, perhaps you may want to apply as airport ambassadors. They're always looking for volunteers to direct strangers and visitors as they come into America. I remember when I first arrived in Los Angeles, my, this is such a big airport. It is bigger than my town. I don't know how to go from one terminal to another terminal. At that time, we were just walking across the field because we were not aware that we need to take a train. Taxi drivers. My, if I'm a taxi driver, it is such a good time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because you have a captive audience. I was in Singapore, and I want to go to church, so I hailed down a taxi, got in a taxi, and the man was about 50 years old, and so I began to ask him some questions, you know. I said, well, how long have you been driving a taxi? He said, well, I started when I was 20 years old. And now I'm 50 years old, 30 years have gone by. When I first started, people get into the taxi, they call me young man. Now they get into my taxi, they say, hi, old man. Now, here you don't call people that way. In Asia, you do that. No problem. Are you with me? So then I talked to him about, how about your family? Oh, I have 5 children. You know, it's tough. Life is tough. I have to drive the whole taxi the whole day in order to earn enough money to support my family. And I saw him having all those little idols of gods on his dashboard. I said, tell me more about those gods that you are worshiping. He said, oh, this one is from Thailand. This one is from Malaysia. This one is from Burma.
And if this God does not answer me, I pray to this God. If this God does not answer me, I pray to this God. I say, I see. But I believe in only one God, Jesus Christ. Do you mind I share that with you? He says, sure. And so I shared with him about Jesus Christ. And he was so intrigued in listening, he lost his way. I said, never mind. Then I said, don't worry, take your time. I have a captive audience. And then finally, I got to the church. I got down. I wanted to pay him. Say, oh, never mind. Don't pay me. Oh, no, no, no. I say, I need to pay you. You see, sometimes evangelistic activities have some financial benefits. Now imagine, at that time I was a passenger. If I were a taxi driver, it'd be a wonderful time to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. There are so many ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember one of our church planter, we asked him, what gift do you have? He said, well, I know the one gift. I know how to cut hair. I can be a barber. I said, no, that's wonderful. Then he got a chair, which is very simple, a chair, pair of scissors, a comb, and then he started cutting hair in an unreached village. That's how he started to plant the church. Because when a person is sitting down there, he's a captive audience. You cut the hair, and they say, do you want to believe Christ? Hey, it works! That's how he got a church started, just by using his skill in just cutting people's hair. Wonderful tour company. I wish that people would come and look at us here at DTS and we can share with them the tradition of Christians here, traditions here in America. You have hotels. Those are places where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Number of years ago, Broadmoor Hotel, the six-star hotel in Colorado Springs, has a link program with the company in Malaysia and many parts of the world. And they bring their trainees over here for internship, 1 year or 2 years internship. We found that out, and therefore we went to see them and help them up in their daily activities and needs. And then many of them will come to home. We will have wonderful Malaysian food. My wife cooked good, delicious food. And so, you know, they come and then we share and then we talk about religion, about Christ, about Christianity. One of them, before she returns to Thailand, Bangkok, it was one evening she said, I need to come to see you. Tomorrow I'm leaving for Bangkok. I said, sure, come. So she came to home. After dinner, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, touched her hearts. And about 8 o'clock in the evening, she bowed her heads and believed Christ as a personal Savior. After believing Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have 4 more hours until midnight for some discipleship training. And then she went back home to her apartment because the next day she has to take a flight home to Bangkok. When she returned back to her own apartment, she telephoned her family members in Bangkok and say, I'm coming home, but I want to tell you something. I just became a Christian. She returned home to Bangkok, met the family members, and then subsequently led 4 of her sisters to Christ. Hallelujah. And another one came to home. She was a Roman Catholic. And I had the privilege of sitting down with her and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with her. And then she believed Jesus Christ. And then now returned to Malaysia, working in the major, now after working in a major hotel industry, in hotels in Malaysia, she is now full-time in a local church in Malaysia. Thank God. God has given us unique opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, the world company knows. This summer, latest news is that both Hilton and Starwood Hotel introduced touches aimed at Chinese travelers, such as stocking instant noodles, Chinese tea in the minibars, offering Chinese television programs. I mean, the secular world is fast. Faster than we do. And then they have already translated on the website into Chinese, targeting the Chinese travelers, and their higher front desk staff who are fluent in Mandarin. Those are the things. 100,000 of them came and come into America every day. Second, international students. The future leaders of the world are being educated in your campuses right now. More than one half of the international students come from just five countries: China, India, South Korea, Canada, and Taiwan. Nearly about 900,000, at least a million right now, studying in the United States. Being educated through your educational system, most of them, unfortunately, are liberal schools, and returning home to become the presidents and prime ministers of the country. To be more at home. Here are the international students' population right where you are. University of Texas in Dallas, 3,500 of them are here. UT in Arlington, another 3,500 of them are here. University of North Texas, 3,500 of here. Texas Woman University, 800. Southern Methodist University, 1,200. And the list can go on. They are from some of them from very restrictive governments, from restrictive countries, right here at our doorstep. Many of them are from China, the Chinese students here, 6,000. South India, India, Nepal, 6,000. We are reaching unreached people groups in Nepal, but God and His graciousness have brought them here to the United States, and I need your help. The future leaders are being educated here in the university campuses. King Abdullah of Jordan studied at Georgetown University. President of Indonesia, at this present moment, he is the president of Indonesia, studied at the United States Army Command and General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth. And then at Webster University. Dr. Mahathir, formerly the Prime Minister of Malaysia, studied at Harvard University. Formerly Prime Minister of Bhutan, which is a very close country, and now Minister of Works and Human Settlement, studied economics at the University of Wisconsin Madison. More than 80% of international students leave America without ever stepping into an American home. much less stepping into a Christian American home in America. And they return home with the views of America that gain from what they see on television. President of Bangladesh, again studying at the University of Wisconsin and Madison. One is young, the Grand Justice of the Vice President of the Supreme People's Court in China, studying here at the University. President of Mongolia, where I will be going in March, end of this month, study at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and then at Harvard University. Formerly President of Philippines, Gloria Arroyo, study at Georgetown University. Mr. Robert Chua, Ambassador of Singapore to Burma, Myanmar. Study at Boston University, and the privilege of meeting him in Yangon in Myanmar. And he's a believer. And when we sit down for dinner, he said to me, he said, "Alvin, I am the ambassador of Singapore, but you are the ambassador of the King of Kings." I say, "Amen." You got it. I was visiting a University of Buffalo. At the University of Buffalo, I checked the name list of international students, and one name struck me. Started with the name Tunku. Tunku is not his name, it's his title. What does Tunku mean? It means prince. Here is a Malaysian prince from Malaysia, the son of the king of Malaysia, studying at the University of Buffalo. I telephoned him, and then we had breakfast together. I will never have that opportunity to meet the prince in Malaysia, but I met him at the University of Buffalo. What an opportunity to impact the world for Jesus Christ. There was another man by the name of Dr. Lee. He studied at Harvard University. And then after the new president came into power, the new president of South Korea called him and said, "Please come home. I just appointed you the Minister of Law and Justice." Shoo. He packed his bag. Next day he flew back home to South Korea and became the Minister of Law and Justice. And I was in South Korea. We have some mutual friends. Telephone him and say, "I'm here in South Korea. Love to see you." "Sure." He sent his limousine and his personal driver to the hotel, picked me up. And then we went into his office. And before you get in the office, there were 6 secretaries who stood up and bowed to you. And then you get into his office and we had a wonderful time of conversation. Presented him with the Bible. And then he said, "Why don't we just go out for dinner?" I said, "Sure." So he and his wife and 2 lovely children took me to the tallest building in South Korea, in Seoul, Korea. And up there at the topmost floor is a wonderful Chinese restaurant, and we had dinner together while his bodyguards are waiting at the ground floor. What an opportunity. He's the man that signs the law into effect. Idi Amin. Most of you may know his story. President of Uganda, he studied in America. And he went to a restaurant. The waiter mistaken him to be an African-American, refused service to him, and spat at him. He returned home to Uganda, overthrew the government, set up a dictatorship, expel all the Western missionaries, close all the Christian radio stations, and slaughter more than 100,000 people. One of the greatest atrocities of today. But he was right here in America. There was another man who came to study here in America, in California, and then he returned home to Japan, started an organization that begins a distribution of the teaching of Buddha in all the major hotels in the world. And now if you go to the major hotels in the world today, you have both the Gideon Bible and then also the teaching of Buddha. He is the man who started all the distribution of the teaching of Buddha. But here, he started his educational journey in America.
My friend, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God in His graciousness has brought representatives of the unreached before the doorstep of the church. May God have mercy upon us and give us the wisdom and the strategies and the challenge and the courage to reach them for Jesus Christ when they come before the doorsteps of our church. Immigrants. Over a decade, 10 years, 1 million people came in as legal immigrants in the United States. Many of them are from Asia, 34% from Asia, 41%, and the proportion continues to rise in the years to come. To bring it closer to home, Dallas. According to the census, you have 1.1 million here in Dallas. Hispanic, 42.4%. Right here in Dallas. Richardson, the population here in Asia, an Asian population, is 15%. The white population, 58%. But there is a growing majority of Asian population right in our midst. United States refugee admission statistics, the latest one here, it shows East Asia, 17,000 of them came in 1 year. Last year, 1 year alone, 17,000 of them came in. Near East and South Asia, 27,000 of them came to the United States. Of the 17,000 that came to the United States, most of them came from Myanmar, the country that we have been trying to reach. The rich people's group that we're trying to reach, and yet God has brought them here. In East Asia, Near East and South Asia, you have the country, the Bhutan, 15,000 of them came into the United States. Since 2008, the United States has settled 46,000 Bhutanese. Most of them, or the small contingent of Bhutanese, resettled in Dallas by the International Rescue Committee, has been here since 2008. Those refugees in Dallas are devotees of Sri Krishna. Here you have, right before us, Bhutan, a very close country. And yet God in His graciousness has brought them before the doorsteps of the church. We pray that you and we may reach them. Ultimately, God will use them to reach the nation for Jesus Christ. And so you have international visitors. You have international students. You have immigrants. And there is the infiltration of Eastern religions here in America. While the East is trying to westernize, the West is being Easternized. Back In the 19th century, you have missionary in America. Perhaps one or two Eastern religious centers. Then when you get into the 1800s, then the religious centers of the Eastern religions begin to come. And then in the 1970s, you have more. In 2001, you have even more. Right now, it's all over America. Temples, mosques, Zen centers, centers of Eastern spirituality, everywhere now in America. In America today, what region of United States do Muslims live? 29% of them in the Northeast. Most of them in the northern part of America. It is therefore not surprising Keith Ellison became the first Muslim member of the Congress. In 2007, it's also not surprising that Dearborn, Michigan is a city with the largest American Muslim population. Most of the population in Dearborn, Michigan claim themselves to be Muslims. The U.S. Navy in the 1990s commissioned the first Muslim chaplain and opened its first Muslim mosque. There are more American Muslims than there are American Episcopalians, Jews, or Presbyterians. According to the latest statistics, at the end of last month, it was reported that the mosques in the United States have doubled since 9/11. We asked them, please don't build the mosques near Ground Zero. They took our advice and built elsewhere. From 2000 to 2012, the number nearly doubled in America. Where do all the Buddhists live? 45% of the Buddhist adherents live in the western part of the United States. Here you have, well, just now too, before I forget, Dearborn, Michigan, you have the largest Islamic mosque in Dearborn, Michigan. Where do the most of the Buddhists in America live? West Coast. Here you have the largest Buddhist temple in the Western Hemisphere of the world, based in Hacienda Heights, California. And of course, the Hollywood stars producing lots of movies about Buddhism. And the most famous Buddhist who just recently died, Steve Jobs, all in the West. How about the Hindus population in America? Hindus population, 32% of them in the South. 32% of them in the South. Outside the suburb of Atlanta, you have the largest Hindu temple here in Atlanta. And so you have it. In the north, you have the Muslims. In the west, you have Buddhists. In the south, you have the Hindus. In the north, you have the largest mosque. In the west, you have the largest Buddhist temple. In the south, you have the largest Hindu temple. My friend, we are hemmed in. And they're coming. They are coming. Pray. God, help us pray. I'm not talking about just simple prayer of just unpassionate. We are talking about intense, focused prayer
unreaching the unreached in other parts of the world, at the same time reaching the unreached God has brought before the doorsteps of the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. Demographic research, making sure that you understand where those peoples are living here in America, in your city. Where are they living? Where are they resettling? Where are the Chinese? Where are the Bhutanese? Where are the Burmese? And begin to strategize and pray that God will give us a wisdom to reach and touch their hearts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reach those people whom the Lord has brought before the doorsteps of the church. Training for cross-cultural friendship evangelism becomes increasingly more important. Both sides. Training both you, the Americans, as well as those people who are coming into America about cross-cultural friendship and understanding. You know, once we were talking with the host family who were trying to host the Japanese students, I say, to host Japanese students, the first word you need to learn is good morning. Good morning in Japanese. Japanese means Ohio. It's very easy. Ohio. One of the states in America. Ohio. You can say that, right? Ohio. Yeah, Ohio. It means good morning. He was so confident, you know, wonderful. It's so easy. Ohio means good morning. And so Saturday came, and the Japanese students came to his house, knocked at his door, and he was so excited. He opened the door and stretched out his hand and said to him, Iowa. Oh. Ohio, not Iowa. You see, it's the importance of cross-cultural training. You really need to train them well. I remember one of the international students who came to America, and he was invited by the host family to have dinner with them. And after dinner, the host lady asked him, "Do you like to have some tea?" Yeah, love to have some tea. So they give him a cup of water and a tea bag. He hasn't seen a tea bag before. He has seen all the loose tea leaves. And so he looked at a tea bag, looked at a glass of hot water. He tore the tea bag and shook it inside. And the host lady said, no. This is not how we make tea in America. Give him a good hot cup of water, another tea bag, and say, this is how you make tea. You dip the tea bag into the water. Do you like to have some sugar? Sure. Give him a packet of sugar. And the student looked at it, put it inside. And they said, no. This time, you tear open and shake it inside. How would he know? Both ways. And some of the idioms we don't understand. One student was having dinner, and the host family was, joking, and a lady was saying to the other African student, "You must be pulling my leg." And the African student said, "No, I'm not pulling your leg. No, I'm not pulling your leg. No." You see, it is increasingly more important to train all of us here in America about cross-cultural evangelism and friendship, because we are increasingly more multicultural all the time. You go to Walmart, and you have a cashier that's coming from Egypt. You have a person who is stocking all the goods who comes from Burma. And then there's another person who comes from Bhutan. Oh, it is an international community. We are becoming increasingly more international here in America. Increasingly, more people are coming in. And therefore, cross-cultural friendship evangelism becomes so much important. And I hope that the seminary will make this a requirement. Must take class. So missions professor, be ready. My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God has brought the world and many of the representatives of the unreached people groups before the doorsteps of the church. While we exercise the gifts that God has given to us, let us be mindful of those God has brought them before us and seek ways and means to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. And I know that many of you yesterday when I was speaking, you were trying to copy down all the notes. And I have good news for you. You want all those PowerPoints? Yes or no?
Yes.
Good. That's very encouraging. You can go into my website, and then all the PowerPoints are in my website. Click on the download section. You have all the PowerPoints there. You see, I'm very gracious. Oh, thank you. God has brought the world before us, while the world outside there needs Jesus Christ. Let us continue to focus our attention to the unreached. Whatever we do, link it up to those people who are yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while you're here, you have a role to play. And tomorrow I will speak some more about the role that you are going to play in other parts of the world. And so, be sure to come tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the challenge of reaching the world that has come before us. And we pray, oh God, that you too will give us the wisdom, especially the church here in America, to reach the international visitors, to reach international students, to reach the refugees, the immigrants, and that we realize that we are now being hemmed in by those religious centers, that we may be empowered to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the Muslims, with the Buddhists, with the Hindus, and with those of other religions. That America will continue to become and to be the shining light. And Christians and churches here will continue to be faithful to the Great Commission in making disciples of all nations. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.